Her readings point to a truth in our lives that to love is not often convenient or easy. And in fact, it probably very rarely is easy. But we are called to love, not just speak about it, because we are made in the image and likeness of God who is love. Our first readings point to this. If you would only heed the voice of the Lord, keep His commandments, return to the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Not something that is real difficult for us to grasp or to understand. We don't need to run off on a pilgrimage and fast so that we can get this. We don't need to go find a guru who can explain this to us. It is right there in our hearts and in our mouths. We only have to carry it out. This last line of Moses is, that is the catch. For our problem is not intellectual. It is a problem of the heart. It is living it in every day that is the challenge. And that is what Christ is telling the scholar in the law. He comes to him, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? We see that he's on the right path because he's not asking, what do I have to do to earn eternal life? But to inherit. Eternal life isn't something that we earn. It's not a reward for doing good, for living a good life. It's our inheritance as sons and daughters of a loving, merciful Father. The inheritance is ours. But like all inheritances, although we can't earn it, we can lose it. So Jesus turns the question on this man. How do you read the law? What is written in the book? And this man knows his scripture. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus tells him exactly what Moses told his people. Do this, and you will live. Do this. This man had come up with this trap to set on Jesus, and now he feels the tables have turned, so he wants to justify himself. So who is my neighbor? But really what he's asking is, who is not my neighbor? Because if I know who my neighbor is, then I know that I have to treat them in a certain way. But I also know who is not my neighbor. Which gender of people, which nationality, which race can I ignore? So Jesus tells him this story that we are very familiar with. We need to know the players, though, to really grasp the parable of the Good Samaritan. First are the Jews, the chosen ones of God. And the priests and the Levites, they were the chosen ones of the chosen ones. The very top, the best of the best. And then there were the Samaritans, shirt-tail relatives of the Jews. Samaria is right next to Israel, right below it. But they were mortal enemies. Remember the gospel just a couple of weeks ago when Jesus was traveling through Samaria? He sent his disciples on ahead of him, and there was a town that refused to welcome them. And James and John wanted to bring fire down on this town. And Jesus says, no, we'll just go on to the next. There's one reason why they rejected him. It's because they knew that Jesus' face was turned to Jerusalem. His destination was Jerusalem, and that in it was enough to reject him. So Jesus tells us the story of this man on a journey. Even today, this road from Jerusalem to Jericho, a very dangerous place. And this man is robbed and beaten and left for dead. And the two that come along are not evil men. The priest and the Levite, they just are too busy to get involved. They're either heading to the temple to do their duty, or they've just been on duty for a week and they're heading home to their families. Either way, they just don't want to get inconvenienced. So they pass him by. And then the Samaritan comes by, and the Samaritan is moved with compassion. And he goes to the man, and he pours oil and wine on his wounds. He bandages him up. He takes him and puts him on his own animal and takes him to an inn where he takes care of him. And then he turns him over to the innkeeper, and he tells him, whatever you pay, if it's more than what I've given you, I will pay you when I return. But what it costs the Samaritan really is not measured in dollars and cents. It is measured in compassion and mercy and love. So Jesus asks a simple question. Who was this man's neighbor? And the scholar says the one who treated him with mercy. So Jesus tells this man, and he tells us to go and to do likewise. Why is it that so often in our lives, those that we expect to do the right thing, They're often the ones that let us down. It's a human tendency, I think, for us to live a minimalist life. Like the one questioning Jesus today, who is my neighbor? Religious can be very good at finding loopholes. He knew the law, but he also was looking for ways to avoid the law. Honor your father and mother. That's good in theory, but come on, you don't know my mom, my dad, what they did, how they lived their life. How can I honor that? Or extend this outside of an individual family, the church, civil authority. This pope is just way too far right. This bishop is way too far left. I can't listen to what they're trying to say. But we're not honoring the man who is a pope or the man who is a bishop or the man who is in civil authority. We are offering and honoring the office. Forgive my enemies? Yeah, in theory, that sounds like a good idea. But I'm never going to forget this person that did this or that to me. You don't know how evil they are. You don't know what they did to me. I can't forgive that. Do not bear false witness. But gossiping feels so good, right? Even when I gossip and I tell the truth, that can't be so bad, can it? Do not kill. But what about the slander that kills the good name of my neighbor? When the gospel becomes concrete, when it gets personal and specific, it costs us dearly. And we are geniuses at finding those loopholes so that I don't have to follow this or that specific commandment. The priest and the Levite, they probably felt for this man that they saw laying on the side of the road, but not enough to get pulled out of their own ego, out of their own individualism, not enough to get involved. Maybe the next time. Maybe when I'm not pressed so much for time. Maybe then it will be more convenient. But Christianity isn't about convenience. It's about knowing Jesus Christ. It's about having God's law written in our hearts and on our mouths and carrying it out. It's not about giving out of our abundance. It is about giving out of our very substance. Not looking for excuses, even legitimate ones, but looking for persons that are in need of love and mercy. And then following the divine Samaritan who gave everything for you and for me. Everything, including his last drop of blood and the instruction, go and do likewise.